T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I saw Anderson Varejao, by the way, is going to be the Cavs representation. What a cheap shot by the NBA communications on this one. So Anderson Varejao is the Cleveland Cavaliers on stage representation for the draft and the lottery tomorrow, right? Where we find out where they're going to get picked. I've done the tankathon a million times. I finally got the Cavs in the one spot after, like, I'm telling you, 10 straight 14 seeds.
Okay.
But they put Anderson Varejao team ambassador. And what got me a little ticked on that was that they, for Richard Hamilton, they put Pistons legend. For Nick Collison, they put Thunder legend. But Anderson Varejao gets to be team ambassador? He couldn't have been a legend himself? Nick Collison is a legend, and his parents don't even think he's a legend, okay? He's a legend in nobody's mind. But he gets to be Thunder legend Nick Collison?
Nick Collison, man. How about that?
All these people. You're going to have Dame Lillard there. You're going to have DeMontis Sabonis there. You're going to have Wes Unseld Jr. there. But I was thinking a lot about the NBA playoffs. I don't know if you noticed this as well. After watching this postseason, are we too quick to get rid of Colin Sexton? Because I'm looking around us and I'm seeing all these playmakers. I'm seeing playmakers left and right. And I'm not the biggest Colin Sexton guy. I've been pretty vocal about it. But you need guys that can score in the NBA.
You do, yeah.
And like that's why they brought in LeVert, right? Even though it didn't work out, that's why they brought him in.
Sure.
And I'm stuck because I think part of what I love about the Cavs is that they're zigging while everyone else is zagging. And that's important in any league. Now, the Rams said F those picks all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I think part of the Cavs' success last year was around going big when everyone else was, you know, thinking the Twin Towers lineup was taking basketball back decades. I don't want them to conform to the rest of the league. But the last four teams standing, they can all get a bucket at will. Now, the Mavs are more than Luka. They got Dinwiddie. They got Jalen Brunson. The Heat have Butler, Kyle Lowry, Oladipo, Hero, Boston with Tatum and Brown. And I just think the Cavs have to ask themselves, like, how are they going to do it? How are they going to compete in the postseason moving forward? Is it sustainable when you're relying on just Darius Garland? When you look at the play-in tournament, that Brooklyn game, Darius scored 24 second-half points. What happened in the first half of that game? You're playing catch-up. Because Darius shot like 4 of 10 from the field for 10 points and was just kind of, he just didn't take over the game. He was fine, but he just didn't take over the game. You guys need somebody that can score a bucket at will, and the Cavs just don't have that. They're close, but they just don't have it. So I'm watching the NBA postseason, and that's what's kind of sticking out to me, the way I'm sure it's sticking out to you. What are you seeing out of the boring games out of yesterday, where both Game 7s,
blowouts, man.
One put you to sleep and the other one should have put you to sleep?
You know, listen, I love the three-point shot, and I think the game has evolved to the point where guys are getting so good at the three-point shot that it's become really the offense for most teams. And as we go younger and younger, we've got a generation of people, kids in general and you know, teenagers and college kids and the young pros, that they grew up watching Steph Curry and, you know, all these dudes who just, Dame Lillard, you know, shooting from the freaking, you know, logo.
Yeah, 40 feet away.
40 feet away makes no sense. It's not a high percent shot, but it's become sort of a high percent shot for those guys because they make half of them.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this. Yesterday, the Celtics shot 55 three-pointers in that game. 55.
That's insane.
Three-pointers.
Yeah.
They took 88 shots in the game. 55 were three-pointers.
Yeah. And to bring this back locally, you know, 2 years ago, the Cavs were, what, dead last in three-point attempts and like 28th in three-point percentage it made. It was not very high. And this past year, it's not like they made leaps and bounds as far as the progress was concerned in that area. Like, it's not rocket science that 3 equals more than 2. We're pretty set in understanding that logic and moving forward.
Yeah.
Can the Cavs continue down this road when you're looking left and right and everyone? And you know, I feel bad almost for like the Suns in that game yesterday because right. The Suns, it's just a make or miss league that the Suns just didn't shoot the ball particularly well. People want to get on Paul and they want to get on Booker for not showing up in the big time moment. They just took their shots and they missed, right? Small percentages in a lot of ways. And I hate that a game 7 can come down to that. Like who just shoots the ball the best from the perimeter? Hate that that's where we're at in the NBA right now.
Where we're at.
It's where we're at. No other way to hide it. It's a make or miss league from behind the arc, or the behind the perimeter, excuse me. And it's just kind of what it is. It kind of sucks. But I do think yesterday was a good day for the NBA.
I think it's leading, frankly, to a lot of blowouts. Because
of course it is.
Because everyone's forcing the 3-point shot. And all of a sudden, if you find yourself, as you said, you know, down 10, 12 points in a game, and I watched the Celtics game yesterday. I was at a buddy's house. My kids were swimming, and they have like an outdoor TV, so I was watching the game as I was playing with my kids.
Outdoor TV with
outdoor
the pool
TV
right there?
Yeah, like, it was awesome. Good setup.
Congratulations on all of your success.
Not my success, just successful in being friends who have nice setups.
It's not bad. I need boat friends, by the way. I'm taking applications.
Oh, they have a boat there, too.
Can I
it's
be their
on
friend?
The lake.
I want to be their friend, then.
Portage Lakes, man.
Yeah.
Good spot.
That'd be nice.
Anyway, so I'm watching the game, and all of a sudden, it goes from being like an 11-point game to 20-plus point game. And I'm like, jeez. And it's just
blink of an eye.
It's 3-pointers.
Yeah, blink of an eye, it all happens.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden, you know, Giannis makes a bucket, they cut it to 9, and then it's like 3-3-2, and then it's all of a sudden like 17-point game, 18-point game. I'm like, it's over. No one's coming back from that.
No. No.
That kind of happened to the Suns early in that game. I mean, they're down like, what, 17 points in the first quarter, first half, 20 points. They were down, I think, 30 at halftime.
They scored 27 total points in the first half.
What were they down at halftime? It was 50-something to 27.
30-point game.
It was 57-27.
It was 30 exactly.
Yeah. Doncic himself had scored 27, and the Suns themselves had 27. But it's what you're talking about. Like, think about it. 3 of the first 6 games of that series were decided by at least 20 points, and none of the games came down to the final possession. Is that just because we're in a 3-point era? It's just make or miss? And like, when it aligns, the stars align here, it's pretty cool, right? When you have both teams just going off and shooting and throwing haymaker after haymaker, and you're just watching them go deep and hitting 3 after 3. Like, that's fun. That's really fun, high-level, good basketball. But we got a lot of stinkers yesterday. And the NBA can't be happy about it. Now, how do you fix it, though? Because if 3 equals more than 2, and we've established that, and the percentages are in the 3-point shot's favor, then what do you do moving forward? You know, I think there's a path here where I think it's better for the game long-term to have some of these series be clouded in mystery. But you also want good games attached to it as well. I came in here today, and I was talking about how I love the idea that in January, the teams that we thought were going to play in the finals are all basically, with the exception of the Warriors, now eliminated. And the Warriors weren't even like the number one seed up in that category, right? It was Phoenix being number one out of the West. And then in the East, you had Milwaukee, you had Brooklyn, you had all these other teams that we were jockeying for position. I think it's really good for the NBA that it's not just as simple as this team should play this team in the finals, and we have that set in February. We have that set in March. We have that set before we actually tip off in the postseason. That's good for the NBA. Some of these games that we watched yesterday, Dustin, woof. Vomit inducing.
Big time.
Not fun.
I hope that we have some good conference finals games. And I'm rooting for the Mavericks, even though I feel like they don't have much of a chance against the Golden State Warriors. But boy, Boston and Miami.
Are you
that
cool
is
rooting
be
for the Heat?
Sweet.
Because you know, a lot of people don't
I'm
like rooting
Spolster
for the Heat.
I'm a Spolster fan here, man. I love this dude.
I love
the Heat in general. They're a likable team.
He deserves so much more respect than anybody's ever given
Put
him.
Put some respect on his name.
Exactly right. You know it.
Yes, I do.
I just hate Boston so much. Is that okay? I just hate Boston.
See, it's
I hate Boston
what's
sports
What's funny
fans.
Is, so I've got family from Boston, so I always kind of like was around Boston sports growing up a little bit because my uncle played for the Patriots.
That's
and,
right.
And we spent a lot of time up in New England like during my adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
And went to a lot of, you know, Red Sox games, Celtics games. And
sang Sweet Caroline and the whole works.
And what have you. So.
Or they weren't singing Sweet Caroline in like the 80s when you were going to games, I bet.
I don't know that I went to. I think the first Red Sox game I went to was like mid-90s, early 90s.
I don't know when they started doing the Sweet Caroline. I have no idea.
I certainly don't remember.
No. It's a cool thing when you go, though.
It is a cool thing.
Yeah. So you were a Boston fan.
Not a Boston fan, no. I just was like...
You liked
them. Yeah, my family loved everything that Boston did, and we'd go on vacations with my uncle and his family, and they'd always have the Boston games on, so I get it, whatever. I was just at my cousin's wedding about a month ago in Arizona. Everyone at the wedding, all from Boston.
Pock and the Caw and the Haba.
Yeah. The accents stick.
I love the accents.
So do I.
Yeah. I would, in a second, I would do the accents. I would only drink Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and I would have myself a day. But I can't stand the Boston sports fan. Can't do it. So how do you get on the Heat then?
I don't know. Something about...
Because a lot of people here are mad. They're still mad about LeBron going to Miami.
You know what bothers me in Boston?
What's that?
Marcus Smart.
You know Marcus Smart?
He is the image I think of when I think of the Boston Celtics.
Okay, use Marcus Smart. I once, I ran into him at Tower City.
Okay.
I didn't know what to do in that situation. I saw him. He was there. Boston was all there, right? And I was just, hey, Marcus, how's it going?
You said, how's it going to him?
Yeah, I said, how's it going? Walked straight past me.
Wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah, he was like, as if I didn't say it. And you know my voice, it can carry a little bit. I was like, hey, Marcus, how's it going? And he was just tunnel vision, straightforward, wanted nothing to do with that conversation. And it wasn't even going to be a conversation. I'm just looking for a head nod. It's about like the least request of a celebrity encounter you could ever imagine in your life. Just like a, hey, how's it going? And just nothing, as if I was air.
Hmm. Remember walking past, this is when LeBron was here the first time before he left for Miami. I was at a game. They were playing the Celtics in the playoffs. It was in Cleveland. And after the game was over, I was walking down one of the streets here downtown. I forget exactly which street it was. Maybe it was West 6th. I don't know. I think it might have been West 6th. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And walked right past Ray Allen. I mean.
Did you say hi?
No. I didn't want to bother the guy.
No.
I was just like. That's Ray Allen. And he was looking in like a very nice looking suit. I think he was going into one of the restaurants there.
I feel like if you say hi or you acknowledge a celebrity or you give him like a head nod, I feel like they kind of like that. You never get tired of that, right?
I would love it. As long as it's just, you know, like I see people and I'm very much not a celebrity.
You're kind of a celebrity.
It's a D, you're a local D minus list. Okay.
Is it fair if I said you are below the local weather person, but above the traffic person? How about that?
Yeah, I'm not as famous as the weather person.
But you're an Ohio, you're a Buckeye too, though. You have that going for you. Most sports radio people fall somewhere.
The point is, like, if someone says, "Fox, what's up, man?" I'm like, "Hey, how you doing?" Like, that's
fun. That's fun. Come on, that's fun. That is fun.
Now, I don't want to be the, like, how about the guy on, well, should we mention that?
Yeah, go for it. Who cares?
On Friday?
Yeah.
So, Friday, Jonathan and I, this is after the golf event, there's a dude that comes over to us. Man.
With requests.
And I don't even want to talk about the details of it.
Yeah, don't.
But the guy was a little bit annoying because he was hammered.
Yeah.
And then.
You were so nice, too.
I was so nice to the guy. I could not have been nicer to the guy, right? You were there.
You were very, very nice.
I even introduced you and all this stuff.
You did, which, again, I appreciate it, too. I was like, that's fine.
You know, Jonathan nice. From the radio, whatever.
Yeah.
And then the conversation just took a halt. And then I kind of looked at you, and then he just like looked at us and then just got mad and walked away.
Just walked away.
Like, what are you going to do? I've given you all the answers you want.
Yeah.
You know, I was very cordial with the gentleman.
I told you, the
conversation was not going anywhere at that point.
I was like, oh, he did not like how that convo ended at all.
I heard you. Yes, you said that. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do?
I don't know. But like in most scenarios, though, if somebody gives you a head nod,
I like that people come say hi. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, of course.
I have no problem with that. If you see me on the streets or whatever, come say hello.
I heard someone the other day. I'm not going to say who it was, but they're really, really famous.
Don't be drunk and in my face
when
you do it, but that's fine.
They're really famous in their own right, and they were talking about like people coming up and they're saying hi or whatever like that. And it's like there isn't a single famous person in the world that will get tired of you saying, good job, I like what you do, and then moving forward, you know, and then that's it. It's in and out.
Hey, Ray, love your game, man.
Yeah, hey, Ray. Awesome shot in the finals. You're great. And you think he's ever going to get tired of someone saying, way to win a championship on the greatest moment of your life? I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, people come to me all the time and they say, thank you for the 2002 championship. Greatest night of my life.
Isn't that awesome
for
you?
Makes me feel amazing.
And it's even better if someone...
I had a small part to do with that.
And it's even better if someone comes up and is like, you know, that interception, I was worried about the game, but that interception, oh. D-Fox, you let me breathe. And oh, by the way, I also hit a sweet parlay because of that interception.
Yeah.
And that's the coolest thing in the world.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.